Welcome, you're with Vox from Vox.org. It's the psychic show. And I'm over here on Monday night, April 30th, 2007. And tonight is a very important day. So tonight is an important day. Whatever am I on? I'm on crack over here. Okay, hey, let's check out the first caller. Hey, you're with Vox. What's going on?
Hey, Vox. I just found out you could have a Monday night show.
Oh, cool. Who is this?
My name's Colleen.
Hi, Colleen.
I've listened to you for years back in the day, and I've actually had the pleasure of coming to see you in person a couple of times over the years. And I think the last time I met with you was back in, it was on La Cienega by the Beverly Hills Mall.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, and for some reason, I was on the net, and every now and then I'd check in on your website, and I couldn't believe today I saw you have a show. And I was
yeah.
So I don't have a specific question as much as I feel like there's just a bunch of changes going on, and I'm kind of, like, I just feel like major shifts going on.
So what's your birthday? Are you still a Pisces?
No, July 22nd.
July 22nd. Who's the Pisces?
Who's the Pisces? I can't even think of what month.
Okay, well, that's coming out in a blonde-haired female with glasses. Who's that? You or someone else?
Well, I'm blonde-haired female with glasses right now.
Okay. I told you I'm psychic. Well, the most important thing to recognize, and what year are you born?
70.
Okay, and so what's the music connection and all the entertainment stuff happening around you?
My entire life right now.
Well, there you go. The main thing is right now, it's not so much that you're doing anything wrong. It's just the kind of situation that's happening for everybody everywhere. It seems a little bit stunted. And what you got to pay attention to is not to read your own success by situations that are happening around you, like, or trying to decide, like, if there's money involved, you know, or how much money you have in the bank or all that kind of stuff. You might be getting caught up in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it feels like, I mean, you're not on the wrong path.
Wow.
You know, were you getting ready to give up and quit?
No. How many times do you try a path and you think this is it, but for some reason everything lately has been right.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been kind of wondering, you know, before I get too far in, like, locking into this system, if you will, of belief, you know, I was kind of looking for just a little bit of encouragement, like, you're on the right track. You know, you're not going astray.
Well, let me see if I can be a little bit more specific for you. It seems like since you've been doing this for so long, you seem self-taught in a lot of ways. Okay.
Very much so. I'm accidentally realigning myself with what I used to believe when I was a kid. And after society kind of beat it out of me, if you will, you know, coming full circle,
right?
Coming back in, and there are things that have been coming up for the last couple of months, reinforcing how I used to believe when I was a kid, when I was like an innocent.
Now, here's the situation. Don't get mixed up with the original inspiration of being a child.
Okay.
And the vision and all the wonder that happens with your music and all the things that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, like, do something different with the business aspect of what you're doing. That's the problem. You're trying to let just the magic take you all the way through, and it's not working. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I do, just recently music has come back full force. I mean, I have what I do, for one thing, has a de facto part of music, doing legal clearance for a major studio in the music department,
uh-huh,
which has brought me full circle to music. But recently there's been a series of events that...
Well, spit them out. Let's just call them straight. Nobody knows you, so as long as you don't use any specific names, we're cool.
Well, a bunch of ideas that if I'm telling my friends about these ideas, I mean, have been coming and striking me full force, like lightning bolt type of ideas and things that I had, and they're blending with ideas that I had years ago that I wrote down and I didn't know what to do with at the time, so I just wrote them down and left them alone. It seems to be coming full circle now, and part of me is thinking, okay, they don't have anything to do with what I've been working on for my business. And another part of me is like, don't worry about it, just keep going with it because it does make sense somewhere.
Right. Well, that's what you have to do. You have to keep the job focus, and you have to keep entering all this other stuff from your own personal inspiration. You have to, you know, like when you're making a cake, you have to fold things into the middle. You have to fold the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is called. If you were going to do this as a recipe, you know what I mean? You're kind of expecting for things to miraculously just kind of mix or for them to make sense. And it doesn't. But you got to just go with your gut. And by the way, the Pisces energy I was picking up around you, Pisces rules music.
Pisces rules music.
Yeah, Pisces rules music. So that makes a lot of sense why I was picking that up before we even said anything.
Well, yeah, I had just won tickets and got to see a really cool show. And I mean, just, and it brought me back to how I used to manage bands and back in the day, about 15 years ago and stuff, and maybe missing that. And so, I don't know, it was like one thing led to another, and I just called you up. I don't know.
Well, the most important thing is, I would say, don't spread yourself thin in the sense that you're going to start managing a whole bunch of bands now. What you might want to do is create maybe a situation and put the word out and have different kinds of people send you a sample of what they can do, and maybe create some kind of a showcase somewhere for unsigned bands for certain kinds of genres of music that you're interested in. So you can.
But that's what the original idea about 15 years ago was, and there's unfortunately not much money to be had on that avenue. So I'm trying to expand it, but it's like, do I get back into the music part, or do I keep going with these current ideas that have been, I mean, in the last 3 months, every time I have set them aside, I have a friend call me and tell me that a stranger had said that this is what they wanted. I mean, like these, you know, three people removed who do not know me, and I have this idea, and my friends are calling me going, oh my God, your idea, this person didn't even know you and was talking about it.
Well, the thing is, you want to keep it more on a small scale level. I'm not talking about managing a bunch of bands. I'm saying maybe even start like some kind of a small thing where you have something for a film, and you put a couple of words out for some people, maybe accept like so many tapes or whatever, and just like pick them at random. You know, don't get so emotionally involved and so emotionally invested, because that seems to be what's taking you off your track. You understand?
That's interesting. That's interesting. That's what these ideas wouldn't normally be part of my passion, but they keep coming back to me, and they're coming back to me at a very high, strong frequency right now.
Yeah, well, you have to pay attention to that. You can't just ignore it.
No, I've gone to the point of I wrote a letter and done a proposal and handed it in, and I said, look, I don't know what this means to me, but it must mean something to you, and I've gotten great feedback and stuff, but it's in areas of finance, and I don't consider myself a person of finance at all.
Well, that's part of the thing that you have to change about yourself. Sometimes people in the arts think that they're not genuine if they need money or they're asking for money. So you might want to check out how you really feel about money and success.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like a shift is needed there. Like, not for anything. This is not a joke. I think I will say a name here, and I really don't care. You know who Alex is, right? Alex in the music business from the OC, the music supervisor. I don't want to say her last name. But I'd been reading her for a long time, and she wound up getting that huge gig, and she's like hugely on the map. And it's just doing things she didn't do in the same kind of way. She just shifted how she was doing things. She wasn't worried about making the money. She just got to go out there and do the project. Bring it to the table. Stop worrying for somebody to decide if they're going to pay you for it or not.
Right. I believe that I'm like past that point or at that point where I finally get it. And that just might be, you know, age and experience finally. It's like, do what you love, because that only makes sense at this point.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to check some other callers out right now, but why should go join the forum and stuff and keep in contact with me, and maybe we can do some more stuff in depth when I see you again.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. You were dead on.
Cool, my friend.
Thank you so much, Box. God bless.
Many blessings. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, Colleen.
Bye-bye.
So with Vox the Psychic, give me a call tonight at 323-284-5166. When you're calling on your computer, make sure to turn the sound off and all that. It'll be good. Phones are actually turning out to be pretty good. So call me at 323-284-5166. And today, as I was saying, is an amazingly powerful day. It's one of the eight Sabbaths of the witches. It's the Beltane Festival, Fire Festival. It's the second fertility ritual and festival of the new Wiccan year. And this year is where people basically, they burn the Beltane fires and they jump over the fires, licentious, wild sex. And there might be actually a dearth of callers tonight, possibly, if all my Wiccan friends are out there jumping over fires, burning their asses out by the beach somewhere up high in the mountains. But basically, on my blog today, I put a really nice blog up there, an entry for you guys to check out what basically Beltane is all about. They'll have the ideas of the Green Man, the ideas regarding fairies and the Queen Mab. And it's like, tonight the most important thing to recognize about Beltane is in Wiccan lore, it's the veil between the two worlds, the world of the dreams and the world of reality. And basically what happens is you're able to see a lot of things from the astral that you can't see in the normal parts of the day. So you want to pay attention to that. Maybe you even like do some meditations tonight, go out in the moon, get your scrying mirror, get your bowl of milk or bowl of ink and go out there and see if you can open your third eye up a little bit and get some visions for yourself and make some changes in your life. Interesting, right now we have the moon in Libra. So it's any kind of parties you guys are going to go to tonight, it's going to be hella good. Going to be totally insane, off the hook, and be drunk as a mofo, swinging from trees, butt naked, jumping over fires. Yeah, it's one of those kind of things. And as the night progresses, the moon will be moving closer and closer towards Scorpio. So you may wind up in some stranger's bed. Please feel free to call and let me know what happened so I can predict if you're pregnant, because that ought to be interesting. What's 9 months from today? I can never count backwards, but that would always be interesting to find out who's conceived on this day. Now, you guys might have also remembered that tomorrow is what's May 1st. So tonight is what's called May Eve, and it's also known as Walpurgisnacht. And that means the night of St. Walpurgis, whose memory escapes me for the moment. But let's just say today, as far as the kind of crazy stuff that could happen on Walpurgisnacht, like, oh, Hitler committing suicide. Yeah, that kind of stuff. That's actually really what happened, supposedly, but that was pretty much the end of that whole situation. But it's a crazy night, and all the witches are out full force, and this is not like Halloween. But some of the stuff that happens during a good Walpurgisnacht festival would be like the whole situation regarding wearing of the masks, the unmasking, and bumping into strangers, literally and figuratively, dancing and getting the maypole consecrated, And the Beltane fires and people jumping around and dancing and having a pretty amazing time. Back in the old days, there was a place called Raven's Flight. In old days, just a couple of years ago. You see, my concept of time is totally warped. But there used to have some really cool situations over there, really great parties. And I remember actually taking my dad to one of those. Can you believe it? Me and my dad carved our names on this huge maypole in the back of Raven's Flight. And my dad, he's a pretty cool guy. He's like 80 now or something. And he had a really good time with the whole festival, the Wiccans, and it's probably hitting on all the little fairy chicks and stuff. You know how dads are. But anyway, those are some little tidbits about it. But I have a bunch of really cool links. You can check out the history in depth about Beltane and what it really means. And there's all kinds of traditions regarding food and dancing and costumes. And one of the cooler things that I found, you might want to check this out, go to Beltane.org. And they have some insane photographs over there of some real crazy people doing some amazing things. I mean, if you really wanted to go to Beltane, like back in the medieval times, and see what it was really like, that would be the place to go check it out. And they got some amazing photographs. And you can actually buy tickets and stuff and fly over there and take part in it. It's kind of like the Burning Man Festival, but with like even more sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but really cool costumes, like almost kind of like the Wicker Man. You know, but it's kind of a cool situation. So for all my friends out there that may or may not be at home checking out the show tonight, give me a call, 323-284-5166. Let's check out some of the stuff that's going on. I've been kind of out of commission for a few days. I've been putting together a lot of Goetia magic spell kits for one thing. And secondarily, Mr. B is creating an amazing new website. So we're going to have an update on that, and that should be up in a few days. It's really beautiful. The one that I have right now is really fun, but it's like my Bewitched, you know, version, you know, the Vox Bewitched version of, like, psychic phenomena. And my new one's coming up. It's really beautiful, so it's going to be a lot of fun to see what you guys think about it. But talking about some astrological stuff today, we've got the... We got the sun in Taurus, as usual, at least for the next while. And we have the moon, like it says, in Libra at 26 degrees. And when the moon's in Libra, you're going to notice a lot of parties. Everybody wants to get together, hang out, have fun, drink, dress up. Whenever the moon's in Libra, yeah, everybody, whatever it is. And oddly enough, the bottom card of my whole deck right now is the adjustment card, which is Libra. People are always going to want to dress up and, you know, pretend to be somebody else, like those masquerades, and those are going to be pretty cool. So those are some things that happen with that. And we also have Mercury in Taurus, which is kind of sucky. All right, it really sucks. Mercury in Taurus, it slows your money down, okay? And it's, you know, really annoying. It's not so much that it's not going to come back, but everything seems to be kind of like on hold. So if you just spent a shitload of money last week, you're probably feeling it right now going, oh my God, what have I done? I shouldn't have spent that money. And it really slows it. Yeah, that card that rules that as far as Tarot is concerned is the Five of Discs, which is Mercury in Taurus. And that particular card we'll talk about later. Right now we have another caller, so check it out. Hey, with Vox, what's up?
Hi, Vox. This is Heather from MySpace.
Hey, Heather. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was wondering if you were going to call tonight, because I was saying, is Heather going
to
go
on my chart?
Yeah, but the deal is that I haven't got a chance to go look at it just yet. I downloaded it, and I will have to check it out.
Oh, okay.
Unless you can, let me see what we can do. Or, you know, even better, yeah, you can even just, like, tell me the different planets that you have where, and we can just do it that way. And do you know how to read the chart, like, finding where the different degrees are?
Yeah, I have it right in front of me, actually.
Okay, so let's just check it out. All right, let me see. I'm going to see if I can put it up over here on my computer with Mr. B. So it's Heather, and your birthday is what?
November 13th, 82.
Okay, we're going to set it up over here and look at it on this side over here. 1982, and where were you born?
Walnut Creek, California.
Okay, let's check it out. Bear with me, all my listeners out there, because this is kind of fun stuff. I enjoy this kind of thing. And I did get your letter, but I haven't got it to read it yet.
Yeah, I read your response.
And what's the time that you're born?
2:15 p.m.
2:15 p.m. So let's see if we can wrestle it up over here. This is the part where I usually sing the theme from Jeopardy. Oh my God. I remember looking at your chart going,
Yeah, that's why I kept bugging you about it.
I was waiting for the like screen to implode. Your chart is like square my chart, because all the crazy stuff you have in Scorpio, I have in Leo. You know,
It's
like totally crazy. That's why we're probably friends over here. So here's what I'll do. We'll go through it right now for some of the listeners. And you can either write it down or you can just, you know, check it out tomorrow when I put the podcast up. But you have the sun at 21 degrees Scorpio. So that's going to always make you really intuitive. Like, you don't need a psychic. You probably do psychic stuff for other people, huh?
Kind of.
Okay.
I don't know.
Kind of, sort of. But that's going to be a really powerful energy, because it's also getting close to the end of Scorpio. So when your degrees are later in the sign, like anywhere from around 20 to 29 in particular, it starts getting more intense. So, but at least thank God you're not 29 degrees Scorpio sun, because then you would be killing people. Hello.
Not good. I don't want to kill anybody.
At least where you could get caught. Let's put it that way. All right, and then you have Moon in Scorpio. So that's gonna. Most astrologers will say that you're double Scorpio. Okay, that's what that means in general. And the Moon in Scorpio is not exactly conjuncting your Sun. But it's arising close to there. And again, that's just gonna back up everything else that you said, but intensify it. Okay. Now, one of the interesting things I like to do with astrology charts is I like to go get a few different things, like a few cups of water, some dirt, you know, and a jar, and some heat. You can actually do this on your stove, but you want to be careful. You want to add however many parts of earth that you have. Add just the same amount of parts of water. Okay, and then add the heat. And the air pretty much is its own thing. And you might wind up seeing exactly what it's like to be you in a three-dimensional form. Like, oh, that's what I'm like.
Wow.
So I actually did this, and it turns out that I'm lava. I wasn't shocked, but it was kind of funny how I got to that point, how I got to that idea. Now, here's the fun thing. Now, you're Mercury's in Scorpio, as we know. And that's at 17 degrees. And that shows, let's see, when you first get the first trinity of the sun, moon, and Mercury, then you're going to start triangulating them and trying to make sense out of them. The sun is how you appear to other people. All right. The moon is how you feel emotionally and also how you react to other people. And Mercury is how you speak and how you communicate with other people and how you make them feel like communicating with you as well. So now we understand you're a triple Scorpio. And we're going to get to the other ones as well. But here's what happens. The sun in Scorpio is going to make you always want to look good, you know, attract men. And you don't just dress for men, you dress for women too. Because Scorpio women, they like for everybody to think they're hot. You know, not because they're lesbians and gay guys, you know, they just like everybody to love them and everybody to respect them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Moon in Scorpio is going to make it where you like to vibe people and see what they start doing about it. You know, so your own emotions are very undercover, you know, except you let them out with people that you think won't stab you in the back or sell it to the Inquirer. Then, you know, and even then you're still kind of veiled about the things that you'll tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would guarantee, and you can tell me, don't worry, I'm not going to ask what it is. If you have a magical diary, there's chapters and chapters and chapters that did not get written down because you know you'll never forget it because you never want anybody to read that shit.
Yeah.
Including your husband.
A little ball or something.
Now, don't, I hope I'm not going to get him to start begging you to show it to him because it's not going to happen.
He doesn't want to see.
He's a smart man, your husband.
I'm not. I don't want to go there.
And so then you have the Mercury in Scorpio, which means, again, like I said, you kind of like to listen to what other people are saying, you know, and you kind of manipulate all that. And then when you're really sure that everything that you understand and everything that you've heard is completely amazing, then you might say something, but only if you can completely blow somebody's mind when you're saying it. You won't say dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going to happen. Now, here's where it really gets interesting. You have Venus in Scorpio. So now you're a quadruple Scorpio. Now, this makes you completely psychotic, but cute. Cute and sexy psychosis. And I'm just teasing you a little bit. But what it does is it makes you insanely imbalanced, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I'm, for one, actually kind of like imbalance because I've learned to like, enjoy it. But the deal is, with this placement, here's where you start getting into trouble. Venus is in its detriment in Scorpio. So you will wind up in this life falling in love madly with people that can really fuck you up and completely destroy your life. Did that happen yet?
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Good. Because at least you already did it, and so you know I'm not nuts. Now, this is not a curse. It's just like the way that it is.
Yeah, I've read that I'll have lots of transformative experiences through my relationships. So.
And so you're...
And that makes sense.
And with that placement and all that other Scorpio energy, I'm hoping that Heather could also be like a pseudonym. If not, we'll just pretend that it is, because the situation is really clear. You are super, super sexual. That's all there is to it. Forget it. You know, that's all she wrote. Super intense about just a few things: beauty, love, truth, sex. Maybe some nice cooking and some cool clothes and people that are interested in the same few things that you're interested in. You're not really interested in a whole lot of stuff. You're just not.
Yeah.
You know, and now this is a problem right now, but ultimately it can really be a benefit to you because this insane amount of focus and obsessive tendencies that you have, once they're applied to something that's worth focusing and being intense about, it can be really great. Now, guess who had a lot of Scorpio planets? Marie Curie. Have you ever heard of her?
Marie Curie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you know who that is?
Kind of.
Okay, it's all right. Yeah. Just for people who do or don't know, she's the woman who discovered radium.
Oh, okay. I knew she was famous.
Smart, smart, smart. Lived in a little tiny place with radium. I mean, everybody around her died. You know, she used to carry a little bottle of radium in her pocket. And everybody around her died of cancer, and she would, like, hang around till about, like, you know, 90 years old or some crazy damn thing. Of course, she was glowing in the dark. I kid you not. The bitch was glowing in the dark.
Damn.
Yeah, and her husband, Pierre Curie, he was just as amazing as she was, and he died before she did because he was also in a lot of toxic chemicals.
Yeah.
And that's that Scorpio energy, is to kind of look, like, where nobody else will dare look. You know,
yeah.
Like someone say, oh, my God, that's face melting poison. And you're like, it is? Can I see it? You're like, no. Oh. No, come on, dude. Hey, this face melting poison. Hey, it tastes pretty good. It's like, ah, your poor mother.
My mom's a Scorpio.
Well, she can handle it then. She probably deserved you. She deserved all the crazy stuff you did. You know, because she could probably handle it. But the Venus in Scorpio is definitely already giving you lots of trouble in life. But my feeling, just knowing you, like, indirectly a little bit, is that, you know, you've got your feet pretty much on the ground. They float up and down once in a while, but you pretty much know the score. And even if you still find in life that you're getting attracted to the wrong kind of guys, it's going to be harder and harder for you to be duped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, what's the husband's birthday?
8/28/80.
Okay, so he's got the little Virgo stuff.
He actually called a few weeks ago, Onyx.
Uh huh.
And I kind of got a little off with him because he was incredibly nervous. But you said he wasn't personable at all, and he's like, everybody loves him. It's crazy.
Well, what can you do? Virgos, they can pull it on.
Everything else is awesome.
They can put it on and they can put it off. Remember that Michael Jackson is also a Virgo, if that explains anything. And by the way, I think he's born 2 days after your husband. So, you know, it depends. It kind of depends on it with a Virgo, like if they're in the mood to let you know them at all. You know, they kind of have to be in the mood for it. So those are some things. But as far as the rest of your chart, you have Mars in Capricorn, which is really good for discipline. Especially S&M, B&D kinds. So if you haven't tried that, I would also be very surprised. And then you have Jupiter in Scorpio. So now you're quintuple Scorpio.
Uh-huh.
And Jupiter in Scorpio is not real fun in the sense that you have to work a lot harder in life to make those big bucks come in the door.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the only way you really tend to make money with Jupiter in Scorpio is to do something involved in the occult or the sex or detective or things to do with water or stuff that's deep, philosophy, counseling.
I think I'm going to have to. It's just I can't not be obsessed with it, really.
Yeah. And then you have Saturn in Libra. That also gives you a little bit of problems with your relationships and some karmic relationships, but that's no big deal. I mean, at least Saturn in Libra is exalted, so it's a little less trouble. And then Uranus and Neptune are in Sagittarius, which is going to make you ultimately want to bail out of the United States and go traveling far and wide. So that will happen, even if you can't have 2 cents to rub together to, like, take a bus ticket to, you know, to anywhere right now. It will happen because you'll make it happen. And you also have Saturn conjuncting Pluto in Libra. So again, you're going to have some explosive relationships still in the future, even if you don't want to hear about it. But, you know, right now, it's like, however you're dealing with your relationship, if you guys are having a good time, you pretty much know the score and how to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if anybody's going to change the relationship, it's definitely going to be you. It's not going to be him.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, now how he can manipulate you is just through his attitude and making you go totally bonkers and crazy.
Uh-huh.
You know, and sometimes when he starts doing that, that's his way, that's his passive-aggressive way of conquering the Scorpio.
You know?
So those are some basic ideas, but you know, you got your quintuple Scorpio energy going on here. And the interesting thing as well is that you have Scorpio over here in your eighth house. And so all these Scorpio planets are in the house, in their natural house. That means they're naturally dignified. So it's pretty intense. I mean, also final things on this situation, looking at your chart, it wouldn't surprise me if at some point in your life somebody dies that leaves you an absolute shithole of money. I mean, just like fucking insane amounts of money here. But because you have some strange planets there, you could have some problems getting your legacy. Now, you don't know anybody yet that has that kind of money. Okay.
No.
Now, here's the other aspect to that, since it's in the house of the occult. It's not necessarily grandma kicking the bucket and leaving you 20 bucks or 20 billion. Okay. It's a legacy of work as well, and treasure that you can find in this life, whether it be an idea or a concept or a place that you go or a book that you write or something that only you know about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting. You know what I mean? So you have the discipline to do quite well in this life. You definitely do. So I would really...
I don't feel like it right now. God.
Huh?
I don't feel like it right now, but I'm just bonkers bored with my job. So.
Well, the boredom is actually acting like a catalyst to shoot you out of there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the beautiful thing about it. But you have a lot of really interesting planets and stuff, and maybe at some point, too, we can check them out a little bit more depth.
Yeah, I would love to, definitely.
Cool. So and maybe next time we'll have your husband on and we'll do his chart next. Because, you know, obviously just doing the tarot and stuff with people, you get basic generalities and you can also be picking up on people's moods and what they're projecting at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. But checking out his chart would be really interesting to see how you guys have made it or how he's been able to handle being with somebody who's a quintuple Scorpio.
We call it a miracle, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, well, he sounded like a nice guy. I remember talking to him,
yeah.
You know? But anyway, that's a few little tidbits for now. So what are you guys going to do for the rest of Beltane?
something I'm not going to talk about on the radio.
Okay, my friend. Well,
can I ask you a quick question? Well, I don't know if it would be quick.
Okay, we'll check one more time.
You said that a lot of there's like a little generation of people that have a lot of Scorpio on their chart. And
right.
They're becoming aggressive. So could you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. The most important thing to recognize is that Scorpio is super, super deep and they don't feel anything. You know, it's like anything light. Everything with them is like... it's like the last thing. Remember, Scorpio rules is ruled by the death card and the tarot. So it's all either or. It's life or death. It's high or low. There's no mid-range. And so with that huge stellium there, it's like life or death. It's like you go into McDonald's and they get your order wrong and you take out the fucking AK-47 and blow the bitch away. It's like, I said large fries, bitch. You know, it's like, whoa, okay, sorry. You know, and literally there's like a video that I just saw of some guy who was standing at a McDonald's, and I swear to God, this is so freaky. He had to be Scorpio. He's just sitting there, to-do, and this old guy was standing at the counter waiting for a Big Mac, and the kid just like hauls off and just beats him right in the fucking head and knocks him out cold.
Yeah.
And got away with the huge sum of $2, which goes to show. Never rob people that are eating at McDonald's. They probably don't have any money.
But
yeah. That's the moral. Not don't kill people, don't hit people, you know. But the deal here is just that they have no threshold for bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you're reading a book, if you read the preface and the bibliography, I'll pass out. You know, you might just go right to like chapter 25 and skip to the end and decide if it's worth reading how they got to the end.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck this crap. I don't have time for this shit. You know, so it's like the speed version of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, cut to the chase, cut to the crap. You know, and
yeah.
It's probably also why you're, you know, why you kind of vibe with my way of reading the tarot is because I don't go, oh, I see auras and pixies and fairies. Oh, they're dancing. You know, what does it mean? It's like, bitch, I see some strange people. Get away from them. There's some strange pixies on your lawn. Get out the, you know, rifle, whatever. But the most important thing to recognize is also it could be like a lot of karmic stuff being born a Scorpio. Now, what we should do, what I'm going to do actually for next week, if you're interested in calling back too, I'll do some research and find out the last time bunches of planets wound up in Scorpio.
Okay.
So we can kind of compare what the hell was going on back then and what's going on with the people now.
Yes, that's a good idea.
You know, because there's always a precedent, because the planets do bump into each other in some different kinds of shapes and configurations over different periods of time. But the thing is, right now, look at the war. How old are some of these young soldiers? They're your age, right?
I know, yeah.
And where are a hell of a lot of them right now?
Yep, in Iraq.
Either in Iraq and their fucking asses blown off. God bless them.
Kind of, I've been feeling like, you know, all these people my age and younger are going to just be so pissed at, you know, just the state of the world that they're going to lose it.
Well, the good
and then
thing,
they're all like, they've got this Scorpio stuff, so it's like, oh, Christ.
Well, the good thing about Scorpio is that they don't give up.
Yeah.
They don't give up. So it's not so much like a death sentence or the doom and gloom version of anything. It's about what are people willing to fight for? And once people are realizing that they're fighting for something that's not benefiting anybody, then their ideas are going to switch around. And then they will be a very, very powerful generation. Now, I don't know if how many people out there are aware of this, but Scorpio is the true rising sign of the United States.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard that.
Yeah. There's actually two charts. One, because the different aspects of the document were signed at two different times. One's Gemini and one's Scorpio, and I'm of the belief that the Scorpio rising chart is the true one. And so all these kids are really going to have a big change of heart, and they're going to have a lot to say about how this country is run. And I dare say when they take over, it might be a pretty harsh situation because it's not going to be too fun. They're going to be ruling with an iron hand.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, as you well know.
Hopefully it's not a...
Yeah, so let me, I'll let you go for right now, and I'll see if I can come up with some other stuff to say, my friend.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you soon, Heather.
Thank you.
Happy Beltane. Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. So with Vox the Psychic, give me a call at 323-284-5166. And we've been talking over here with some of my Wiccan friends and some of my musical friends, people that I say friends, but I haven't actually ever met these people. And that's fine, because I don't think you actually have to know somebody in the flesh to actually be their friend or know or be with them in any way. But so that's a little lesson for you guys in what's called a stellium, or a collection of stars in a particular sign, because stele or stella or étoile, all those different words, it means star. And when you have a stellium, it means there's a group of them. And when they get grouped in one particular area of your chart, they focus way too much energy on it. It's like a balloon that's just filled with too much water. It could break at any time. And it's not bad luck or a curse or anything weird like that. It's just a situation that you have to learn how to balance against. You know, there's people, you know, that are handicapped in this world physically, and you see them like popping wheelies in a wheelchair and climbing Mount Everest, you know, on a fucking skateboard or some crazy shit. And you go, my God, I can't even like, you know, run around the block 10 times. And here's this guy with no legs who's climbing Mount Everest. What the fuck? You know, so it's not about physical handicaps. It's about how you balance what it is that you have. And anybody with Scorpio stellium, people that are born around 1982 up to, I think, around 1988, there's people there that are going to have like two, three or more, like Heather had, of these planets in Scorpio. And it's going to be very, very intense. And as you can see, it already is, because like I said, a lot of these kids right now are soldiers. And Scorpio actually used to be ruled by Mars before they discovered the planet Pluto. And we all know what Mars is. Mars is the god of war. And at that time, he was also the god of death. Not so much like the Hades aspect of, you know, Pluto being death, but he was like the process of death and the process of fighting, the process of living, which in and of itself is a kind of struggle or fight. So when you have this extreme energy dealing with, you know, Mars/Pluto energy, it's going to hurt. And sometimes it can actually hurt the person who actually has those planets. Now, say if you had a stellium of planets in Aries, then you would be Angelina Jolie, who was born June 4th, 1975. And interestingly enough, every time I saw her for so long, I was thinking, there is no way that she's not a Scorpio. I mean, no fucking way. She just put out this intense scorpionic vibe, like just like hardcore overkill, all this kind of stuff. And I studied her chart, and she turned out to be a huge planet, planetary stellium of Aries in her chart in the midheaven section of her chart. And funny, oddly enough, she has absolutely nothing in Scorpio. And I was like, damn, you know, that's just like overwhelming. And she also has Cancer rising, which is a complete, you know, thing that would completely throw you off. The only deal with her being Cancer rising that's a dead tip off is the fluffy lips. And those are real, you know. And I've known some other people that have 28 degrees Cancer rising as well, and they also have very beautiful fluffy lips. But the deal is where all the other stellium of her planets are, it's like all about war, forging through. She's like a tough chick. She's been with girls. She's been with guys. She's like flying a plane. She's like crossing the fucking desert. You know, she's doing all this like stuff that's not feminine at all. And with her beautiful Cancer rising, making it seem very feminine indeed. So it's very interesting stuff there, the stelliums. I know a person who has a stellium of planets in Taurus. And I would wonder if anybody could give me a call and see if they could describe what somebody looks like that's got a stellium of planets in Taurus. That would be really interesting. So you should give me a call, 323-284-5166. I know a lot of my regular friends and people out there, my Wiccan friends, may be out there celebrating tonight. So I'm doing one of my famous rants. So we're talking about stelliums and planetary stelliums. And I have a friend whose name is Larry. He's one of my best friends. He's a great astrologer as well. This guy has, I think, 6 planets in Taurus. This guy is massive. I mean massive. He's huge. He's tall. He's big. He's extremely, you know, overweight. Okay, so what? But you just look at the guy and you go, oh my God, you're a Taurus. Your second guess would be, oh my God, you're a Cancer. You know, those would be the 2 major guesses that you would have. He's got a huge neck, his eyes, everything about him. He just looks like his sign. You know, it's just like very interesting. So it'd be interesting to see what Heather would look like. Actually, I think I've seen her picture on MySpace somewhere. But the whole thing with that is just like you wind up at that point when you have this many planetary energies in a particular sign looking a very particular kind of way. You imagine some of the stellium in Gemini. First off, are any of them still alive? That would be the first question. If you are a caller, call now. If you have a stellium of planets, if you have more than 3 planets in Gemini, call now. Operators are standing by. 323-284-5166. So who would have a major planetary stellium in Cancer? All right, how about my mom? 7 planets in Cancer. Oh my fucking God. I don't even know how I lived when the mother had 7 planets in Cancer. She would know every freaking thing you were up to. Know who you talk to, who you're going to talk to, who you talked to in your last life, who you're going to talk to in 2,000 years, what color underwear you'll be wearing in the next millennium. I mean, stuff you may not want to know. She used to also drive people crazy because they thought she was just making shit up. And she was like so psychic, it really wasn't funny. We would go walking around the store and she would point out different people and the stuff that they did behind closed doors. Of course, when I was a kid, she didn't tell me the juicy stuff, but she, you know, let me know that she knew stuff that was secret about these people, you know, and she would point out people like, oh, this person has a brain tumor. Oh, this person's giving birth to twins, you know, in 5 years. Or, I mean, what the hell? Where did she get this information? And it took me a while till I was about 12 years old to realize, oh, this is weird. This is officially weird. This is stuff nobody else knows but my mom and the person she's talking about. And I just thought it was very strange. And it is. And it can get you in big trouble. You know, if you say stuff that you sense or you feel about people, it's not necessarily even what's really going on. So you have to really study your magical aspects. You have to study astrology, numerology, dreams, symbology, occult psychology, do magic rituals out the yin yang. And maybe in years time, not a year, but many years time, you'll be able to see what it is that you're feeling and why is it that you're feeling that. But you may wind up understanding that what you're feeling has nothing to do with the person who's making you feel that way. It's a symbol. It's a psychological or an occult symbol. I call it, in moments of clarity, I call it Kabbalah madness. just looking at a phone number and just going, wow, there's something strange with this phone number. And then find that same sequence of phone numbers or different kinds of letters and numbers that come out throughout the day. Now, this is something I didn't even talk about with a friend of mine. We went to see the Mark Ryden exhibit on the final day with like 1 hour to spare down, where was it? I think the Mark Cohn Gallery or something on Crescent Heights in Beverly. And I had meant to see it a lot earlier because I really love the artwork of Mark Ryden. And for any of you who don't know what I'm talking about, just go to his site, markryden.com. That's R-Y-D-E-N. He's the one who started painting people with the bulging foreheads with the strange little fauna and flora. And all his like characters kind of look like Christina Ricci on acid, you know, with horns coming out of her head and little hoofs and shit like that. He's really magical. It's like comically and sarcastically and politically and mythologically sarcastic in the most beautiful, humorous, enlightening way. I think I could say that. But I went to see all his paintings, or this new series of paintings that he had. It's called The Tree. The Tree Show. It's pretty amazing. I had to go because there was this one photograph of the god Cernunnos that I saw that he created. He created this little baby Cernunnos. The Cernunnos, by the way, is a Wiccan god or pagan god of the forest. And he's like the green man. He's the idea of fertility. He's very much like Pan, basically speaking. But anyway, Mark Ryden had created this amazing porcelain-headed doll with these little baby antlers sticking out of his head and these huge glassy blue eyes. And the baby was all swaddled in this beautiful little lace and gold trimmed christening outfit with golden shiny bees all over it. And the whole thing was encapsulated in this huge tree trunk that had these huge glass eyes on it and these big branches sticking out. And it was so amazing. It was like the baby Jesus, but like, you know, the Pan version, you know, like maybe the Luciferian version of the baby Jesus stuck in a tree somewhere. And all these paintings were just like so amazing. And I had a really good time looking at that stuff. All of the different kinds of, the different styles that he had, very much like Renaissance painting and stuff like that. So if you guys ever get a chance, you should definitely check his site out. Now, we were talking before I interrupted myself, one of my many selves, with all these stelliums. We're talking about like what kinds of energies come out with people that have a preponderance, as they call it, of planets in particular signs. But one of those ideas would be as far as if you had Cancer with all these particular planets, how psychic and sensitive that you would be. And that was definitely true. Now, something that makes it really interesting, too, when you have the outer planets, such as Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto in the same signs, boy, oh boy, you're going to fucking get it. It's pretty intense, really intense stuff there. So it's okay, I would say, a lot easier to deal with. You have a stellium of planets that are like Sun, Mercury, Venus, Moon, Mars. But when it starts getting some of the larger planets, it can really whack you out and make you very imbalanced in a lot of your thinking and a lot of your actions as well. So if you talk about the stellium in Leo, then you're just talking to me, aren't you? Because this is somebody who's just completely just, I almost don't even know how to describe myself except for insanely fucking obsessed with things that may not mean anything to other people, but anything that has to do with art, music, magic, that's pretty much my entire life right there. That's pretty much all I do or all I talk about, and pretty much all I study as well. However, I am really fascinated by nature and science, and in the last, you know, I would say maybe the last year, I've been deciding that, hey, you know, I really want to apply this obsession to some new areas in my life. So I've been working on some new books and some new studies with that. But somebody with stellium in Leo, somebody I think that also has a stellium in Leo is Madonna. And that's somebody who's very interested in performance, music, the arts, you know, dealing with people on the stage of life very much. You have like a stellium in Virgo. I don't think you would ever meet that person. That person would probably be hiding in a cubbyhole somewhere in a fucking library at the Smithsonian. That would be my idea of somebody with a stellium of planets in Virgo. that would just be totally insane, you know, because first off, Virgos are already completely obsessed with details, manipulating reality, just studying and arranging things. So that would drive me fucking nuts if I had that. I don't even know how somebody could handle that. I'm trying to think of any good celebrities that might have something like that, but none comes to mind, because somebody with stellium in Virgo, I have a hard time believing that that person could even be a celebrity. Except maybe after they were dead, and you found like 10 gazillion fucking boxes of stories and poetry. And no, Emily Dickinson wasn't a Virgo last time I checked. I think she was a Libra. Somebody should check that out and give me a call. If you want to, I have a few minutes left in my show, so give me a call at 323-284-5166. We'll chat. Also, too, if you want to ever come in and get an actual reading or do one by phone, I do those as well. And you can call me up to arrange one of those at 323-782-0222 to get a regular reading. That's 323-782-0222. And also, you should join the forum as well, where we can also keep these conversations going on, not just on the radio, but in the forum where other people can throw their two cents in as well. Now, getting back to our little stellium, since I'm obsessed about this now, thanks to you, Heather, I'm totally obsessed about talking about the stelliums. Then you have a stellium in Libra. And again, I don't know anybody that has a stellium in Libra, but that person must be completely fucking insane. It would have to be Judge Judy or something like that, I would imagine. Somebody who's completely obsessed with either the law or possibly decorating or, again, arranging things or some artistic situation like that. And you have a stellium in, we talked about when we go in order, the Scorpio stellium comes after Libra, but we already talked about that. And a stellium in Sagittarius, again, is this person still alive? If there is such a person, I would have to check. And I'm going to do some research this week and see if we can scrounge some of these people up. Somebody with a stellium in Sagittarius, they wouldn't even be here. They would be like, you know, on a plane going to Mars or something, or Jupiter or wherever the hell. That person could never sit still for 5 minutes. There would be a world traveler, somebody who can't stay still, somebody who's into philosophy, writing. You know who strikes me as that is very much like a Charles Bukowski kind of person. Somebody who may not have necessarily traveled far and wide, but definitely traveled far and wide inside his own head. And there's not much difference there, is there? And somebody with a stellium in Capricorn, that would have to be the devil himself. And interesting, the devil card actually is ruled by the sign of Capricorn, which is kind of interesting. I would say, like, I know that Donald Trump isn't, because we already checked his chart out a few podcasts ago, but I always would have suspected that somebody like him would be a Capricorn. But somebody that did have a few planets in Capricorn was Edgar Allan Poe. And we all can see what happened there. That was very unpleasant to have that many planets in Capricorn. It's very stultifying, making you very morbid. And that would not be very fun. And having a stellium in Aquarius, that might make you Paris Hilton. Somebody completely nutty, kooky, eccentric, like Farrah Fawcett on crack. Can I say that? Yeah. Okay, I just made that up. Yeah, I'll keep that in. But just very strange. Beautiful, strange, fluffy, weird. Somebody's stellium in Aquarius. This would remind me of one of those kinds of old ladies, you know, that talks to angels and shit and, you know, has a little fluffy dog sitting on her lap and, like, climbing the vortexes in Sedona or some weird thing. Somebody with stellium in Aquarius would just have to be the weirdest damn thing ever. I can't even imagine it. And then finally, dun, 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 stellium in Pisces. If you had a stellium in Pisces, again, along with the poor little Geminis, I would be really shocked if you were still alive. Somebody with a stellium in Pisces, there's no way out, dude. All right, you're an alcoholic, junkie, drug addicted musician, probably living in a doorway somewhere in Hollywood Boulevard, and you are too poor to afford a radio or computer, and you're probably too drunk to figure out where the on button is, even if you had one, and so therefore you probably will not sue me for saying these horrible things about you. But so, Pisces, oh my God. Now, I know that Einstein was a Pisces, but I do not believe he had a stellium. I'm going to have to check his chart out. What do you think? He would be pretty interesting. But I know that Einstein was insanely psychic. Really psychic. You have to be psychic to figure out where the hell those damn, you know, atoms are. Where the hell are they? And smashing them. He was not interested in that, by the way. He was very against what he had to do there. But again, that's the kind of stuff that happens when you have the karmic, you know, task, I would call it, of being born a Pisces to begin with. I know my sister has a few planets in Pisces, and she is definitely very strange. Nice person, very strange, very changeable. You can't get your, you know, mind around dealing with the Pisces too easily. And a lot of times that's what kind of drives them to drug and drink in the first place. A lot of people that you might meet with certain planetary placements in Pisces are going to have a really tough life. There's pretty much nothing you can really do about it, you know. But in the last couple of minutes that I have, I may as well tell you what's going on over here. Like I said before, we have Sun in Taurus, Moon in Libra. The Moon will be moving into Scorpio. Oh, interrupted, but that's cool. Hey, you're with Vox. What's going on? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're with Vox. What's going on?
Hey, hi, Vox. This is Kathleen. I spoke with you last week, and you're talking about strange people with strange planets where they're all lumped together.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Because I was listening to your show. Howard K. Stern. He's got a bunch of Scorpio stuff where it's Jupiter, Pluto, Uranus all together. And
yeah, I actually did his chart.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. I should put that up.
A bunch of Scorpio, a bunch of Virgo, and a bunch of Capricorn. It's like tons of everything in those three.
The thing that I recognized about his chart was how closely his chart or how closely his sun was related to Anna Nicole Smith's sun. They're both Sagittarians.
Oh, that was Larry Birkhead. Right?
No, Larry Birkhead. You want to hear the crazy thing that nobody else has said about Larry Birkhead?
What's
Are you
that?
Ready? Are you sitting down? He's born on January 22nd.
Yeah, I saw you had done that. And, you know, that when this whole thing came down around the whole Anna Nicole thing, Howard K. Stern always looked really suspicious to me.
Yeah, he always does. But I hate, you know what? I really do hate when I just try to lump somebody in based on the hook of their nose or their beady little eyes.
Oh,
or the fact that he's a lawyer.
And those are all clues. But I was looking at his chart, and I was like going, this guy, you know, what would somebody that's a professional have to say about it? Because he looks like a very cold, calculating person to me.
Yeah, he definitely is. And that's probably why she chose him in the first place, because she sensed that.
Well, yeah, we were talking about sociopaths last week.
Yeah.
And he's December 29th, 1967.
Well, let me check him out. His cards come out are the Nine of Wands, the Universe, and the Queen of Discs, indicating that he's very, very suspicious and very mistrustful of other people in the first place. And this seems to be why he decided to become a lawyer. Interesting.
Yeah, but he projects that as if he's the one that is the one that's suspicious and that we shouldn't trust.
Now, he's living a great movie. Let me see if I can explain this to you. If you notice, have you ever gone to a really great movie and you could swear to God that character Joe is the murderer, you know?
Right,
And at the very end, you find that that's not really the case.
He's like Snidely Whiplash. He did it.
Well, exactly. But the deal is he is projecting what he most fears. You understand?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, even in my own life, there's things that I have unnatural suspicion about, and there's really nothing wrong with it, and I go nuts thinking the worst about this particular little detail. Let's just give him a reading for the hell of it, and because we can always do his chart later.
Yeah, you know, even like on your forum or something, but, you know, when he's trying to block the inquest into Daniel's death and, you know, the whole thing blocking, you know, saying he, you know, the thing on the baby certificate that he was the father, and just the whole myriad of things and enabling her with the drugs, and the whole thing is really sad. I don't normally follow the news, but some things catch my attention, and I just thought this was so bizarre. And being interested in psychology, it's like, what's making people like that tick? And how do we avoid them?
Well, in his case, it's really interesting because we all suspect that he was enabling her, but she was the one who was forcing him to do that. Okay? People look at Anna Nicole and think, oh, this fluffy, fuzzy little bunny. And she really wasn't. She really wasn't. She was fucking hard ass. You know, I mean, let's think about it. I mean, who could, which one of us could actually have sex with a 90-year-old guy? I mean, people are looking at this the wrong way. It takes somebody fucking hardcore to fuck some 90-year-old guy, with or without money.
Right.
I mean, come on. If some guy said, I'll give you $1 billion, just, you know, sit and spin, you're like, get away from me, you old man. It's like, what the hell? Now, here's what I'm getting as far as this is concerned. The thing that I just completely deplore about this is his getting those drugs for her. I just think that's the most horrifying thing. And I think everybody who's involved, including her therapist, any of those doctors, anybody that prescribed that stuff under a false name and got her to take it, I think they should all do jail time. I'm serious. And
I agree.
Because we all looked at her and we all knew she was going to kill herself one way or the other. She was either going to use a razor, but she used other people to kill herself.
Right.
Okay. Now, on that whole...
It was her way out of her mess. There was no other way out.
You know, and it's just really heartbreaking. But she's the one who told people what to do. And just like Britney Spears. Now, this is interesting. Britney Spears is like born with a few degrees away from her son, okay? Anna Nicole Smith's son. They're like so close together. They're almost the same fucking person. Okay, except for their rising sign. So nobody seems to know what Anna's rising sign is. And if somebody does know, call me up and let me know. But the interesting thing is, Anna Nicole Smith had her baby, Danny Lynn, on September 7th, the day before this horrifying eclipse in Virgo. Okay, and in Pisces, those two eclipses that happened. 2 days later, Britney Spears had her baby. Okay, now let's look at those two babies. As soon as those two babies were born, their mothers almost killed themselves. One of them succeeded. Both of their marriages or their relationships fell apart. Okay, and neither one of them is really hanging with their child that was born on that day. Britney Spears has still yet to even show the face of her kid that was born. Nobody even knows what he looks like. They saw a foot, they saw a hand. So there's something really weird going on with that, if you ask me. And I thought it was very strange how much they really shared in the birth of those children that they had. And I don't think it's a good thing. I think the horoscope of, and it is horoscope, of those two kids is just really awful. Just really terrible. Now, here's the thing that I discovered about Larry Birkhead. Anna Nicole Smith's son, Danny, was it Daniel, right? He was born on January 22nd, too. How weird is that?
Yeah, it's more than coincidental.
I think
that almost karmic or something.
Yeah, it's very karmic. I mean, the same exact degree and everything. I'm going to say something really bizarre, okay? But I get a feeling that Anna Nicole Smith, once she found out that Larry Birkhead had the same birthday as her son, she took it as a sign that he could be okay and that she could love him and that he could be trusted. And I could be completely wrong about that, but that's the vibe I get. And ultimately, when her son died, all this really strange stuff happened. And I forget what her son's birthday was. Did you find out what that was? Oh, yeah. The January 22nd. Yeah, January 22nd.
But no, but I have an astrologer friend that studies. She loves to study this kind of stuff, and she may have it on everybody because she has these ways of doing the rectification charts to figure it out.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken with her too much about this, but I study people, you know, psychologically, like, you know, why do these people give me such bad vibes? You know, why does somebody that I don't know like that, like Howard Stern, why does that person give me such bad vibes? And so I try to understand it from the astrological perspective because it gives a lot of insight.
Yeah, it definitely does. But
yeah,
I do think that...
I know he's born in L.A., that's all.
Yeah, I think that he's kind of gone bonkers, according to the moon card he's just pulling. And as far as, like, the whole idea about, like, the reality of what he tried to pull with the baby and all that stuff, again, I do feel strongly that she told him, under no circumstances, let any of these people get my kid, okay? And on the fact that she broke up with Larry Birkhead, apparently, over her drug use, and he was very concerned, and she kicked him to the curb, and it all just blew up. You know?
Yeah. You know, but when you've got somebody that's got a chart that has, you know, there's, let's see, because you say Capricorn is there's Capricorn, Scorpio, and Virgo, and there's not like the feeling kind of planets.
Exactly.
You know, he's got a lot of Aries stuff too, but North Node Saturn. But, you know, Virgo with Jupiter and Pluto and Uranus, and they're all together. And then he's got in Capricorn, his sun is Mercury in his possibly midheaven, but we don't know his time. So
yeah.
Venus and Neptune and Scorpio, it just looks cold. It feels cold to me, and it looks cold to me, but I don't study it in that way.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe you would have some interesting insights in it when you were talking about all of the people that have things lumped together.
Yeah, and the stellium, because I wasn't even sure that I was even going to talk about that tonight, depending on how many people were home or people that were celebrating their rituals out tonight. But the thing is, what I'll do is I'll put up his chart, and maybe we can have like a little forum discussion. And if you call in next week, maybe we can just like look at his chart a little deeper and find out more stuff about what's going on with him. But I don't personally like him very much, even though I don't really know him, but I'm talking astrologically.
Right.
And I do think he rubbed everybody that same way. And he's just not a very sympathetic character.
No. And, you know, it's like, so, you know, what I'm trying to learn from that is, you know, how people like that affect all of us, actually. But, you know, how to deal with people like that, because they seem to just be springing up all over in our society, just people that are just really weird.
Tell me about it. But again, when the outer planets are conjunct like that, those explosive Uranian and Plutonian energies, especially in a negative sign, you got trouble on your hands, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to have to let you go for right now, my friend. But hopefully I'll talk to you next week, and we'll check it out and see what other celebrities we can talk about.
Yeah, I've been meaning to write into your forum because I thought it would be fun, and it's been a crazy week, but I will.
Tell me about it. It's very crazy. We're just trying to get stuff done, you know?
And then we got the full moon tomorrow in Scorpio. Yay.
Well, it's not exactly tomorrow. It's really early on Wednesday, so thanks for reminding me, because I'll let people know what's going to happen with that.
Okay.
But anyway, take care, my friend.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon. Okay. Many blessings.
Bye.
So as we said just before I end the show and let you guys know that on Wednesday, there's going to be a full moon in Scorpio. And let's see when it's going to happen. I forget. But the most important thing is to know that it's going to be at a kind of a weird degree of Scorpio, kind of a late degree. So you might want to just like be careful, whatever you do. Yes, it's going to happen on Wednesday at 6:09 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, which means it will happen in Los Angeles at 3 a.m. Okay, so just know that, and you know, be cool driving, and don't do drugs, and don't do crazy shit, and don't yell in the car, and don't have the levers break up in the car, swerving off a cliff. I don't want to hear about it. Yeah, but we're going to be hearing some really crazy violence again in the news, and there's nothing we can do about it. Volcanoes, earthquakes, all kinds of crazy stuff. God, I'm starting to feel like Nostradamus, just with long black hair. You know, and without a beard, thank God. You know, but it's just a crazy time right now. So try to deal with it, because the full moon in Scorpio is going to be squaring Saturn, and it's going to be like hell to pay. So just like the one that Donald Trump is wearing, that's the hell to pay. I live and I laugh at my own jokes. It's pathetic. But anyway, so until then, check out my blog at vox.org. I've got some new stuff on there about the holiday for tomorrow's May Day. So fuck your brains out like little bunnies and be fruitful and multiply. And what are some other fun stuff? Yeah, definitely go celebrate May Day some way in the hell. You know, just don't crash your plane and cry out May Day. That's not the May Day ritual. Okay. So anyway, until then, give me a call for regular readings at 323-782-0222, or write in for charts or dream interpretations. Go into the forum. And otherwise, until I talk to you next week, have a mystical, magical day.